Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Jeremy! Karen threw her hands up in the air. I've called you twice already. Please come here so we can get your backpack ready. No answer. Karen marched into her 9-year-old son's room and found him bent over an army of plastic figures arrayed on his rug. Jeremy! She nearly shouted at her startled son. We have to get your things ready for school. Jeremy looked up like he wasn't quite sure what she was talking about, but he hauled himself off the floor anyway. Thank you, his mom responded. Now, where is your backpack? Another surprised look from her son. Didn't you hang it on the hook in your closet last night? She prodded. Jeremy dutifully opened his closet door and opened his mouth in wonder. There, miraculously, was his backpack. Good, his mom replied. Let's take it downstairs and see what school supplies you need. Another confused look. Remember, Karen began gently, school starts next week, and we need to look at the list your new teacher sent so we know what to put in your backpack besides lunch. At that last word, Jeremy's face brightened. How about mac and cheese? He grinned. From a parent's perspective, how can we help our ADD children organize for school? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is an authority on working with kids with ADD and ADHD. Dr. Kathleen Nadeau is a nationally recognized authority on ADHD and the author of 10 books on the topic. She's the clinical director of the Chesapeake ADHD Center of Maryland and lectures nationally and internationally, training other professionals regarding the approaches she has developed to help those with ADHD. Dr. Nadeau has 3 children, the youngest of whom is a grown daughter with ADHD. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Nadeau.
I'm delighted to be here.
To start off, then, let's do a little clarifying of our terminology. What's the most prevalent myth about ADD and ADHD?
I think what's really important for parents to understand is that it doesn't mean a child is hyperactive necessarily. It's not mostly boys. Basically, as many girls as boys have ADD. It doesn't mean short attention span. Many children and many adults struggle with what we now call ADHD, but it's not an attention deficit in that children with ADHD under certain circumstances can pay better attention than non-ADHD children. What it really is a dysregulated attentional system. And that's what's so puzzling for parents and teachers, that sometimes children can't seem to pay attention at all, and other times those same children are so engrossed in what they're doing that you can hardly get their attention. For example, the story that you just started with, Jeremy was very engrossed and paying very close attention to his toy soldiers. He wasn't paying close attention to what his mother was saying. So what we need to help parents understand is how to engage your child's attention. It's not that they can't pay attention, and how to help them move toward better functioning at school, at home, and in their life. Because as children get older, lack of organizational skills that's so associated with ADHD is going to impact them much more than their attentional issues, really. That as you get into high school, as you leave for college, if you're not able to plan and organize and follow through, you're not going to be able to succeed.
Dr. Nadeau, for just a second, would you clarify the meaning of ADD and the meaning of ADHD?
We're in a very confusing situation right now. We used to call the condition ADD, attention deficit disorder. Then the American Psychiatric Association began to recognize, well, there are 2 types. There's hyperactive type and non-hyperactive type. But nevertheless, they decided to call the condition attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. But bizarrely, you can have ADHD without hyperactivity. Most parents think there are two conditions, one called ADD and one called ADHD. Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? The ADD is without hyperactivity. You'll find that I go back and forth, and I'm really talking about the same condition. What parents need to understand, and going back to what are the common myths, a lot of parents think that medication only helps kids that are hyperactive, and that's absolutely not true. In fact, Dr. Tom Brown at Yale did research quite a number of years ago that demonstrated that the core symptoms of ADHD have nothing to do with hyperactivity, that you can be hyperactive and have it, but that the core symptoms have to do with dysregulated attention, with memory issues, with difficulty planning and organizing, things that we call executive functions. So if I go back and forth, you know, during this conversation talking about ADD, ADHD, I'm really talking about the same disorder.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on organizing our ADD children for school.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Kathleen Nadeau about organizing your ADD child for school. What is a parent's biggest challenge in helping an ADD, ADHD child learn personal organization?
I think the biggest challenge is for a parent who doesn't have ADHD to understand what it's like to have an ADD brain. Because if you don't have these challenges, it can be incomprehensible. You say to your child, I want you to hang up your jacket when you walk in the door. Well, that sounds like a very simple request. And so a parent without ADHD is going to be likely to get very frustrated and then angry and then accusatory. You're not paying attention to me. You're ignoring this very simple request I've made. And lots of conflict can develop at home. If you understand what's going on in their brain, it's not willfully ignoring, I'd like you to hang your jacket up on that hook. It's more that as that child comes in the door, so many things are on their mind. I'm dying to see my favorite TV program that's about to begin. I'm hungry. Let me go see what's in the refrigerator. Hi, Mom. I mean, many, many things going on simultaneously. When we talk about distractibility, we need to realize that the biggest distraction is the child's own ADD brain that is just literally popping with ideas. I'm an adult myself with ADD, and so I can appreciate that phenomenon very personally, that I can walk into my kitchen with one intention, and if the phone rings or my husband asks me something, that intention is out of my mind, and it's going to take something to remind me again of what I meant to do when I walked in the kitchen. That's a very important clue for what parents should do when you say, isn't this impossible? What parents need to realize is we need to create habits. In other words, repetition, repetition, repetition makes it much easier to remember. That's true whether or not we have ADHD. And we need to create visual cues. That one of the tenets by which most adults with ADD live is out of sight is out of mind. Therefore, I need to put things within my sight. And as a parent, we need to put things within our child's sight. In other words, you gave an example of a hook being inside a closet, inside a child's bedroom. And I would say to that parent, that's not a great place to put that backpack, because think of how many things are going to distract your child before they ever have a chance to get upstairs into the bedroom, open the closet, and hang it on the hook. And I'll give you an example from my own family's life. I lived for many years raising my kids in a house that had been badly designed by the builder, in that the entrance to the house was on basically the basement level. and you had to walk up a floor to get to the living area. Well, on that basement level was the coat closet. So people walk in the front door, and they've got their backpacks, they've got their soccer balls, I've got my briefcase, whatever, and the coat closet is right there. Well, if you're going to use that coat closet, you have to put everything down, take off your coat, hang it up, pick everything back up again, and walk upstairs. Well, who's going to do that? If I've got a bag of groceries, the last thing I want to do is put it down to hang up my coat. But for years, I kept nagging my kids, hang up your coat. Never happened. I had a banister draped with coats and jackets on the main living floor. Finally, I had my aha moment. This is silly. I need to put coat hooks where people are most likely to use them and see them. I put the coat hooks on the main floor right as people came up the stairs, and suddenly the coat started getting hung up. That's just a very simple example of that we need to think like a child with ADD to make it much easier for that child to follow through on the habits that we're trying to build.
Dr. Nadeau, why is it so hard for kids with learning or attention issues to be organized?
There are many factors that interfere with organization. The prefrontal lobes of the brain are one of the main areas of the brain that are impacted by ADHD. And the prefrontal lobes of the brain are the last part of our brain to completely develop. The prefrontal lobes aren't fully developed until we're in our late 20s or even 30. So part of it's maturational. I remember in my own life that my mother, who was, thank goodness, not a critical mother, just very gently mentioned to me when I was in my early 30s, gee, you've gotten a lot more organized. What she had observed is that last part of my brain had finally matured, that even with my ADD, it was easier to be better organized by the time I was in my 30s, where it had been. So that's number one, and that's true of everyone. And so a lot of what we call maturity is really that part of our brain finally fully developing. And that's the part of our brain where we monitor ourselves, where we plan, where we organize, where we learn to follow through, where we control our impulses. That ADD child rushing in the door from school is probably filled with impulses, as in, I want to get off this heavy backpack, and the last thing in the world I want to think about is homework right now, and I'm hungry, and I want to go play, or I want to play my video game. And so that child is walking in the door with lots of impulses. Well, grown-ups walk in the door from work with lots of impulses too, but we've learned to override them so that what I really want to do is lie down on the couch and read the paper, but what I must do is go in the kitchen and start cooking dinner. Kids don't have much experience or motivation yet in overriding those impulses. So the impulsivity gets in the way of organization. The part of our brain that's good at organizing is immature. And then you add ADD to that brain immaturity, and the prefrontal lobes of a child with ADD work even less well. So those factors are all contributing.
A friend of one of my sons, when he was in about middle school, talked about how it felt to have ADD. And he said it was like there were lots of things going on in his brain that he was just sort of hearing. It wasn't like he was in control. It was like different television programs were all going on at the same time.
Absolutely. That is a very, very good description. And in a way, there's an enormous richness there. And what I tell parents and children is that you have the gift of a very creative brain. And if you can learn to harness all those ideas, you're going to be a very creative problem solver when you grow up. It's not that it's a bad thing to have all those ideas, but we need to help you learn strategies to make use of them instead of just having them pop off. And so I talk to people about learning to capture them, write them down, because otherwise it'll be here. And I know I had a brilliant idea, but I can't remember what it was because I didn't write it down. But that's very true that there's so many things going on simultaneously. And The other thing parents need to realize in your Jeremy story was when somebody with an ADD brain is hyper-focused on something, and I experience this every day myself as an adult, the rest of the world seems very far away. For example, when I am hyper-focused, and fortunately the reason I was able to do really well in school is I tend to hyper-focus when I read. So I love to read, and a lot of parents may think, oh, then you can't possibly have ADHD if you can sit there and read for hours. Not true. We don't have control over what we hyperfocus on. If you happen to be very, very interested in something that we happen to call academics, then well and good. You've got this great hyper-focusing ability. But for Jeremy, he was hyper-focused on his toy soldiers. For another child, they may be hyper-focused on their soccer game. Our attention is drawn to things rather than intentionally focused on things. And I think that distinction, that the attentional control isn't there, that I can't decide to focus on something else and hyper-focus on that, I can't make my brain hyperfocus. It just happens to me. But as Jeremy was playing with his toy soldiers, he probably heard his mother in some vague way that I hear a voice out there somewhere, but without really pulling his focus out of his game to go. And your description of his looking surprised over and over is such an apt description. I almost feel like I'm being pulled up from underwater when I'm being pulled away from reading, and there's almost a sense of waking up and, oh, what was it you said? Even though I have this vague memory of your having said something when I was hyper-focused. And as parents, if you know that about your child, you don't need to get angry. You need to know that I need to pull you out of your hyper-focus before I tell you something or ask you something.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on organizing ADD children for school.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Kathleen Nadeau about organizing your ADD child for school.
Are there specific expectations we should have for certain ages and developmental stages of these kinds of kids?
Absolutely. And of course, as is true for all kids without ADHD, that planning and organizing skills develop slowly over time. And no one expects a preschooler to be very organized, although oddly there are some. but that's way at the far end of the bell curve. And so it's really important not to expect too much of our kids. The thing that I try to tell parents of younger children is that children with ADHD are very good at modeling. So if someone is there with them doing what you want them to do, that helps them do it. They don't have to invent it themselves. All they have to do is model the behavior that they see. And that's why so many parents express just amazement that their child who is wildly disorganized at home goes to preschool and stands in line and puts the blocks away and sits down for snack. It's because there's so many behaviors to model that all that external stimulation and reminders of, okay, now it's time to sit down and do X. And so the more that we can build that in to what's happening at home, the better. So I really recommend that families have chore time. If everybody in the family is doing chores at the same time, it's much easier for everyone to do it. The other thing I say, especially to parents of preschoolers, is do it with your child. Instead of standing there and demanding, pick up those blocks right now and put them back in the toy chest, do it with your child. make a game of it. That's the other thing that I see so many parents doing, is making organizing activities into something dreadful and unlikable. And perhaps it's because parents feel that way about those very chores themselves. But if you make it into a game of, okay, you get the green blocks and I'll get the yellow blocks and let's have a race to see who gets them back in the toy chest quicker, that's a fun game. That's not pick up those blocks right now. You've made a big mess. And so I think that kind of an example is very, very important for parents. The other is the concept of what professional organizers call a body double. And that term refers to somebody who's just sitting there keeping you company while you do something. They're not doing it with you. They're not doing it for you. They're just there keeping you company. And what we've learned is that people with ADD brains function much better when there's another person in the room just kind of keeping them on track. That if I'm supposed to be working on my tax return and you're sitting there across the table from me as my body double, I'm not going to start knitting or surfing the internet. I mean, you're here to help me get my tax return done. And your simple presence, even though you're not doing it for me, will help me stay on track. I learned that very early on about my daughter, that I couldn't send her up to her room to say, clean up your room. But if I went with her to her room and said, okay, let's clean up, and just sat there and maybe gave her some guidelines of, well, there are all these clothes all over the floor. Why don't you start with just putting all these clothes in the dirty laundry? Because it'll look so much better really quickly. That looks great. Understanding that when she walked in her bedroom and saw the explosion that it so often was, she simply felt overwhelmed.
Do children really naturally want to have some order in their lives?
Well, I think children very much enjoy having order in their lives. That's different from being able to create it, and that's different from being able to maintain it. So there are lots of other things that need to come into play. And that is, in the book that I'm working on right now, ADD-Friendly Ways to Organize Your Child, I spend a whole chapter talking about making your child's bedroom ADD-friendly. A cluttered room sort of creates a cluttered mind. I find that so many American children have too many things, too many toys that they never play with anymore, too many storybooks that they used to read 2 years ago, but they're still sitting there in a cluttered pile, clothes that have been outgrown. And the more we can streamline our child's rooms, children often object to, even though I don't play with that truck anymore, don't take it away. And so I really try to help parents introduce the concept to their child of, let's pick a number, 15 toys that are your favorite toys right now, and let's put the rest of them in a box. And next month, we can take some of those toys out and put some of these toys in. I mean, we're not giving them away. We're not getting rid of them. We're just making it so you can find the toys that you want. The other thing I tell parents about organizing bedrooms is, keep in mind that out of sight, out of mind, that dresser drawers aren't very ADD friendly, and they're likely to become a big jumble, and kids are likely to not even know what's in the drawers. And oddly enough, the drawers end up being inhabited by the very things the child doesn't use, because the clothes the child is wearing are on the floor or in the laundry rather than in the drawers. So what I advise parents to do is to create shelves, a shelving section within the child's closet that are open shelves where they can see exactly where their clothes are. And sometimes it's really fun to organize those shelves like a body. I will tell parents, you know, put hats up on the top shelf, and then tops, you know, t-shirts on the next shelf, and then underwear, and then pants, and then socks, and then shoes. And it's very fun for a preschooler to learn to dress themselves that way. Okay, what do you put on your head? That goes here. What do you put on your top? And so it's sort of visually organizing the world for a child rather than just having stuff stuffed in drawers. Make it fun and make it consistent. that it's unrealistic for us to give a child with ADD instructions to go away and complete a complex organizing task. It's much easier if we consistently help them and make it into a fun process as they go.
For listeners who want to pursue some of these issues further and get down into the nitty-gritty of specifics, what resources would you suggest?
I think one of the very best resources for any parent is to go on the CHADD website, CHADD.org, and that stands for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder. There is a national ADD resource center that's within CHADD. CHADD has parent support groups all over the country. One of my most popular top-selling books is a book called ADD Friendly Ways to Organize Your Life. And I'm currently working on a book for you and your kids called ADD Friendly Ways to Organize Your Kids. And to find out more information about me, you can go to Dr. Kathleen Nadeau, DrKathleenNadeau.com.
Well, Dr. Kathleen Nadeau, you have given us a wonderful window into a very difficult world for parents and children, and so we thank you for all your help and your insights.
And thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Dr. Nadeau's book, ADD Friendly Ways to Organize Your Life. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. Mention show number 445 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from you, our listeners. Our sound engineer is Clayton Turner. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.